restricting access to online porn.
We want something maybe more like the gambling industry, where you'd have to put on a credit card or third-party age verification system, like some way you'd have to prove that you're 18 before you can access porn. You had to do that in convenience stores, and we simply need our laws to catch up to the internet.
On the feature today, a conversation with Jared Brock, one of the producers of a new documentary about the online pornography industry. In the news, a related story, Arnold Viersen's Motion 47 to study the effects of online porn on young people took a major step forward last week. A huge win for social conservatives in an Ontario by-election, the Ontario government out with its response to objections to Bill 28, and some reaction to a new federal move to loosen restrictions around young people and homosexual behavior.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Alberta MP Arnold Viersen's Motion 47, which would mandate Parliament's Health Committee to study the effects of online porn on the mental and psychological development of young people, now appears to be well on its way to being adopted. MPs held the first hour of second reading debate on the motion last week, and now even the governing Liberals are on board.
I had support from all the other parties, and the Liberals came out and said that they will be supporting my motion as well, so it's great news. The vote, however, won't take place until somewhere between December the 5th and December 15th, so nothing's for sure until it's for sure, so we still have to wait for the vote, but at this point it's looking real positive.
Viersen says it's taken a lot of work to get the motion to this stage, but it's all paying off.
We worked very hard to make sure that the wording of the motion was something that most people could support. We mobilized people from across the country to write to their MP, push them on it, and all of those things made an immense difference.
Another thing that's been going on simultaneously is a national screening tour of a new documentary on this issue. On the feature today, we'll have a conversation with one of the producers of that movie. A big win for social conservatives in Ontario last week. A 19-year-old Brock University student, a self-professed pro-life social conservative, has become the youngest MPP in Ontario history. Sam Osterhoff won a by-election in Niagara West Glanbrook last week. In the end, he garnered 54% of the vote. That means he got more votes than all of the other eight candidates on the slate combined. The riding has historically been conservative. It used to be held by former Ontario PC leader Tim Hudak, so in one sense the vote result is not a surprise. But Osterhoff's margin of victory was the largest in the riding in a long time. A lot of social conservatives were on board with his campaign, including Alyssa Galobe from the Right Now campaign. She says, in one sense, the major battle here was fought during the nomination race just over a month ago, and the party establishment got a clear message.
This was clearly a David and Goliath story whereby you had an unknown who was not even acknowledged during any media representation of the nomination campaign to soundly defeat a party elite like Rick Dykstra. So I think that it does send that strong message that, you know, we're sick and tired of these cronies basically electing each other and choosing each other to run in these nominations, and we want someone real who will provide a different outlook. In a nomination, you have to sign up new members in order to win, and there are enough pro-lifers across Canada to actually tip the scale in the pro-life candidate's favor. Stats show that there's over 5 million registered pro-life voters all across the country, and it's just about utilizing them most effectively, and they can be most effective in a nomination.
We hope to have the winning candidate on the program next week. The Ontario government responding to concerns about Bill 28. That's the law that redefines the notion of family. A lot of people have been emailing their provincial representatives to voice objections to the draft law, and now they're starting to get a form letter back from those MPPs. ARPA lawyer John Sickema has seen that form letter.
I'll just read it to you for a sec. As you may know, in the year 2016, there's no one way to start a family. The definition of parent in Ontario law has not been updated since 1978. So that's the core of the message. They also add that the purpose of this law is really just to allow, quote, modern families to be more easily recognized as parents to their children.
Sickema says the response tries to downplay the scope of the changes, but a lot of people aren't buying it.
It is quite misleading because right now, Ontario family law at its core is quite simple. The Children's Law Reform Act opens with a person is the child of his or her natural parents, and that's been in place for a long time. Certain changes that were made in 1978 were not fundamental in that sense, denying the reality that children are, by default in the law, the children of their natural parents. And that's what's being overturned here. year, and it's a lot more revolutionary than the government response makes it out to be.
One of the criticisms of Bill 28 is that it removes the terms mother and father from legislation. The form letter insists that this isn't true, that the terms can still be used on birth certificates.
That may be true, but in Ontario statutes, they are removing the terms mother and father. So there does seem to be quite a keenness on removing any gender-specific terms referring to parents.
Still no firm word on when the bill will come to a final vote at Queen's Park. And finally, the Trudeau government is moving to amend Section 159 of the Criminal Code. That's the section that sets the age of consent for sexual activity. The change would lower the age of consent for homosexual activity from 18 to 16. The government says this is about equality because the age of consent for heterosexual activity is already at 16. Diane Watts with Real Women says the higher age of consent is actually justified for homosexual activity because medical evidence shows the physical health risks are higher.
There's no equality between these two different activities among men and among male and female because you're dealing with a different physiology. So you're dealing with two different things, and what we're trying to do here in removing this section is to equate those two very different things physiologically, medically, and the consequence is different for both, as we see with the high numbers of sexually transmitted disease with one rather than the other.
The move by the government comes more than 10 years after the group EGAIL, Equality for Gays and Lesbians Everywhere, first began lobbying for this change. Back with more after this.
The government of Ontario is actively hiding abortion statistics. This is done in order to frustrate the ongoing work of helping women and advancing preborn human rights. Join the Stop Censorship Tour in Ontario this January with We Need a Law Director Mike Shooten, ARPA Canada lawyer John Sikkema, and pro-life blogger Pat Maloney. Visit weneedalaw.ca for more information and event details.
As you heard a few minutes ago, Arnold Viersen's Motion 47 to mandate a Parliamentary Health Committee study of the effects of porn on children now has the support of the Liberal government. It'll likely pass in a vote next month. While that motion was wending its way through Parliament, there's been a parallel effort to raise public awareness about this among Canadians at large. The charity Hope for the Sold has been on a cross-country tour screening a new documentary about this issue for parents. I caught up with one of the producers of that film, Jared Brock, at a recent stop in BC.
Let's start by talking about the movie itself. In a minute or less, kind of sum it up for me. What are we doing here?
Well, basically, kids are seeing porn at a younger and younger age. So 90% of boys and 60% of girls see porn before the age of 18, and 71% of teens are hiding their online behavior from their parents. And this isn't the porn that their parents watch. This isn't breasts in a magazine. This is violent, graphic, online, often sexual abuse of women. Of the top 300 most watched porn films last year, 88% had physical aggression towards women. So this is a completely new kind of porn, and it's never been easier to access it.
Where are they getting this? I mean, I watched the film. It opens with this little guy, you know, he's maybe 12 now, but I think he was younger then. He was playing some video game online, and he got a pop-up. I play video games online. I've never seen that stuff. Are they targeting?
Well, I don't know if they're targeting, but we keep hearing more and more stories of that's how kids are seeing it. Kids are also searching for things for school projects. They're searching Hawaii. They're searching, you know, we literally heard a story of the kid this week, under 10 years old, who their parents are chicken farmers, and they searched chicks on Google Images. Like, it's so easy for kids to access. And we basically need our laws to catch up with the internet, because clicking, are you over 18, click yes or no, even porn stars have told us that's not enough to protect kids.
So who are we targeting with the movie? Is this primarily for a Christian audience, or is this sort of a general societal thing?
Well, obviously this is a huge issue. I honestly haven't met a kid yet, a male yet under the age of 18 who hasn't seen porn. We don't make Christian movies. We make movies that we can show in universities, in schools, in Parliament. We've shown our last two films in Parliament. People who are Christians, they come up to us afterwards and they go, are you guys Christians? Because they hear the redemptive kingdom language, but yet we want everyone to be able to watch us. So this film, Over 18, specifically, the target is parents. We want to help educate and inform and equip parents so that they can protect their kids.
This may sound like a dumb question, but why do this? I mean, obviously, there's some big reasons here, but what made you sit down one day and say, you know what, we're going to make a movie about kids in porn.
Yeah. So our organization is called Hope for the Sold, and our mission is to fight exploitation one word at a time. So through writing, speaking, and film. Basically what that looks like is every 2 years we make a documentary and we try to help get a law changed. So we're two for two and we're working on our third. And this one specifically started with a phone call from a young man, and he said, hey, can I take you out for lunch? So we went out for lunch, and he said, Jay, I'm a youth worker in my church. I'm working with 30 young men, and they all have porn addictions. We need your help. And that's how the journey started.
I'm sure you know Arnold Viersen. I mean, you've sort of alluded to a new law coming up. From a lobbying perspective, if I can sort of put it in political terms, is this a coordinated effort with Arnold and with the folks behind that?
Absolutely. So Arnold Viersen, he's a new member of Parliament, and I'm good friends with a member of his staff. And so Motion 47 is basically a motion to study the effect of online porn on teens. And we haven't done this in Canada since 1985, prior to the internet. So we definitely need to do an update. We actually did a parliamentary screening of over 18 in Centre Block about 2.5 weeks ago. And we had over 50 MPs and senators there. So it's awesome to see our members of Parliament are actually like seeing this, understanding this, and saying, okay, we need to do something to protect our kids.
The motion talks about taking it to the health committee and studying the impacts of porn on kids on early exposure. Do we already kind of know what that study is going to show, or is this kind of open-ended?
Right now, our charity, we're in the middle of a 70-city screening tour across Canada, and we're actually working on two different petitions on the road. The first one is for members of Parliament to approve Motion 47 to study the effect of porn on kids. So let's say Motion 47 passes, they study the effects, and we find what we know they're going to find. The question is, what then? And what we are pushing for is the second petition, meaningful age verification. So we want something maybe more like the gambling industry, where you'd have to put on a credit card, or third-party age verification system, like some way you'd have to prove that you're 18 before you can access porn. You had to do that in convenience stores, and we simply need our laws to catch up to the internet. What's crazy is that Canada actually has signed on to the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. And Article 17, we have promised that we will protect kids from all forms of media that are injurious to their well-being. So we've already made an international promise, and we've got to make good on that promise because our kids are worth it.
What's the response been like generally? I mean, obviously you had good support after that parliamentary screening, but you're on this 70-city tour. Is there a lot of surprise out there among the audience that's going, wow, I didn't know it was this big an issue? What kind of response generally?
Al, parents have been picking their jaws off the ground. I've had so many parents come up to me and say, I had no idea, but okay, I've got the resources now. I'm ready to go. We're going to start having this conversation. I had a dad email me. He said, I just had the conversation with my 7-year-old daughter. I can't believe how much she knows. I had a mom say, I had the conversation with my 10-year-old son. The doors just came wide open. Like, kids are seeing this younger and younger, and it's so important for parents to remember that what their kids are seeing is not breasts in a magazine. This is violent, graphic, online content, and they need mom and dad to process this with them, and they certainly need mom and dad to help protect them from it until they're old enough to make these decisions for themselves. So, yeah, the response has been great. Parents are just waking up. I'm honestly just so proud of Canadian parents across this country. Every province, they're just waking up and they're doing something. And our job, we just feel, is to resource them to help their kids.
You know, I hate to sound pessimistic or end on a down note, but prostitution is known as the oldest profession. The whole realm of sexual ethic has been messed up for about as long as society has been around. We win this one, what's next? What's the ultimate end game here?
Well, okay, two things on prostitution as the oldest profession. First one, it's actually not the oldest profession. It's the oldest oppression of women in the world. The oldest profession is actually hunter-gathering and then agriculture, because otherwise how would you pay for prostitution? So let's just throw that one straight out the window right away. But more importantly, you know, our charity, we're trying to end exploitation one word at a time. And when we made our last film, Red Light, Green Light, it was on human trafficking and prostitution. And the connections between that and pornography, they just kept coming up. And we knew that one of our next films was going to be about porn. Our hope is that we can go as far upstream as possible and help bulletproof our generation of kids so that they don't have these ideas that they'll never be able to act out with a spouse. And so they end up going to prostitutes for, or they end up trying to hurt people. You know, I know so many people who've taken their porn addictions offline. And my hope is that if we can protect this generation from addiction, that we can stop a lot of these things. Our goal is prevention. You know, we can scoop water out of a bathtub forever, or we can learn to turn off the tap. And my hope is that we can raise a generation of kids who respect women, who have a great sexual ethic, that they have great sex because they understand intimacy and love. They understand that it's about serving and giving and caring, unlike porn, which is about dominating and abusing and controlling. So I'm really hopeful. You know, parents have to take the lead on this. Our next generation is worth it. And my hope is that the next generation does far better than we have in how they respect women, how they treat people who are vulnerable.
Jared, we're out of time. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.